Brian, did you see the movie yet, The Day After Tomorrow?
I hate to tell you, I haven't. I'm not really a movie goer, and also I've been traveling a lot and haven't caught up with it.
Well, when it comes out on video, if you don't see it on the big screen, you're going to have to get it and take a look at it at home in the comforts of home. And give me your thoughts on whether you believe huge tsunamis, for example, could come in and, let's say, cover the Statue of Liberty in buildings in New York, maybe even Los Angeles. Can all that happen?
Pish, pish, pish. Hollywood at its best. Everyone I've talked to who's seen it and knows anything about climate just laughs and said, it's a Hollywood venture blown out of proportion. However, what is fascinating about it is that one of the things they're talking about is a deep freeze. And this is based on a very legitimate scenario for possible climate change in the future. Back in about 11,000 BC, there was a huge glacial lake in northern Canada called Lake Agassiz, which suddenly broke its banks. And billions of gallons of fresh water cascaded down what is now the St. Lawrence and floated out over the surface of the North Atlantic. And in doing this, it partially shut down the Gulf Stream, which warms Europe and much of North America.
Because the water was just so frigid?
Because seawater is dense, and this stuff sort of skated over the top. Anyway, the downwelling or the circulation stopped, and almost immediately, very rapidly, Europe was plunged into a near ice age, as indeed was much of North America. Very severe temperatures, which lasted for about 1,000 years. Now, fast forward into the 21st century. Let's say this global warming continues, and the Greenland ice sheet imploded. Similarly, cascading billions of gallons of water into the North Atlantic, shutting down at least partially the Gulf Stream, we could have a cold snap the same way. And there are many scientists who believe this is entirely possible. And in fact, the Pentagon, none less than the Pentagon, hired consultants who produced a study of this because of the potential security implications, shorter growing seasons and so on. And the movie, to some degree, is based on that scenario, but of course it's overblown and carried far too far. People love disaster movies. This is one of them.
And it's a good disaster movie.
I haven't seen it, so I don't know, but people who've seen it said it's fun, so whatever.
Can the plunging of us into a deep freeze occur relatively quickly? I mean, over a matter of one or two winters?
The amount of time involved is a matter of debate, but nearly everybody I've talked to says it would happen pretty fast, probably within a generation is one figure I've heard, pretty rapidly.
All right, there are some people who believe Robert Felix has written a book called Not by Fire but by Ice, and he believes we're in an ice age right now.
Oh, we're in an ice age, but we're in a warm period of the ice age. And eventually, in the fullness of time, it's going to get cold again. When this will happen, as I said earlier, we can't predict. Some people say 25,000 years' time, which is long after you and I will be pushing up daisies. It could be any time. But yeah, he's right. We are in an ice age. The ice age didn't suddenly end 15,000 years ago. It started to warm up, and the cycle changed. That's all. So
yeah,
in that sense, he's correct.
The El Nino, and then you've got the La Nina, right?
Yep.
That's just a smaller version?
That's the cold equivalent. That's when the waters are cool, and, for example, it brings drier conditions to the Peruvian coast, to California, and so on. It's more what you might call a little more normal weather than El Ninos. And I would say you probably get more La Ninas than you do El Ninos.
Are there written records out there, Brian, that explain during ancient days how these climate changes affected the people of the day?
No. There aren't. And this is very interesting because all the debate about global warming caused by humanity today is based to a considerable degree on computer modeling, because accurate climatic observations only go back about 200 years in North America and Europe. And even at least 100 years of those are not particularly accurate. Highly standardized, very accurate records are a function of the last 50 to 75 years, and globally only very recently. So the sort of suite of long-term observations we've got is very limited, which is why computer modeling, which gets better and better every year, is so important. The ancients really didn't have any means of measuring temperature, and an awful lot of what we know about climate is purely anecdotal. It was cold, there was great rain, there were floods this year, the crops were ruined, and things like that, because their observations really were like those of a person standing on a church tower. You can really only observe the weather as far as you can see, which means, given the subtle signs of the sky and so on, which obviously these folk were very good at, like any, say, Viking seaman or Egyptian farmer or whatever, they know the natural signs, but you're talking 24 to 48 hours, whereas now today we have predictions which go 30, 60, 90 days. They may not be particularly accurate, but they give us a general sense. So meteorological observations, in the sense that you and I use them, are very much a product of the industrial era.